Thanks, Jen. It's Extension 720 here on 720 WGN. We'll keep you up to date on all the weather as the severe weather comes through the area. Heads out in Lake Michigan, but we'll continue to keep you updated on all of the reports and of course, the advisories and warnings that are happening in the Chicago area. Well, we've been talking about 1989. We talked about art tonight. We talked about music and culture. So let's move on to theater. In 1989, Chicago was home to theater companies like Steppenwolf and Goodman and Chicago Shakespeare, but the off-loop theater scene, much smaller than it is today. But something magical was happening in Lakeview along the Belmont and Clark area. Small theater companies were popping up doing alternative theater, late-night comedy, poetry slams. Places like Café Voltaire, the Annoyance Theater, and my guest tonight, the Neo-Futurists. The Neo-Futurists are celebrating their 30th year in Chicago. The company is one of the most successful theater companies in the country. They've sold out shows for years with lines around the block wherever they played, whether it was at the Live Bait Theater back in the early 90s or, of course, at the Neo Futurarium, their current home in Andersonville. They continue with the longest-running late-night show in Chicago, Infinite Wrench, which was formerly known as Too Much Light Makes a Baby Go Blind. The Neos just made news with the addition to their leadership team, Jorge Silva. Silva comes from the Goodman Theater and will take over as managing director. He joins longtime artistic director Kurt Chang. Both are here tonight in studio, Jorge and Kurt, and one of the original Neo-Futurists, Phil Ritterelli, in studio as well. Guys, thanks so much for coming in. Appreciate it.
Hey, Justin. Good. Happy to be here. Thanks.
Hello.
So let's start, Jorge. Welcome to the team. Let me just start with you. Why make the move from the Goodman Theater to the Neo-Futurists?
It was a really obvious move for me. The company has been a part of my theater education for a long, long time. You know, you're talking about how it's been around for a while, but it brought me in at an early age when I was just beginning to get a feel for what theater meant. And when I came back to Chicago recently, I decided, I saw them on stage. I was like, oh, I could do that. I could do that now. Now that I have the theater degree that I'll never do anything with, I could do that stuff that they're doing on stage. And, you know, I started out as a student getting the scholarship. Then they brought me back for a few shows. Then I got to do a prime time recently as a lighting designer, put that lighting design degree to use. And when the opportunity came to support them in this much, much bigger way, it was crystal clear. I had to jump ship.
Well, Kurt, there's so many people who are your peers, but also people who have come through the doors there that probably have very similar stories of Jorge's. This idea that, you know, they came there as young people, yeah, and students and others and said, this blows my mind. This is theater. This is what I know. That has to continue to happen at the Neo-Futurists.
Yeah, I think, like, I like to talk about everyone that's invested there from a leadership level, which is basically the entire company, to a volunteer level, to associate level. Everyone goes about the work with a fan mentality. Like, we love it at a level where it's hitting us in the heart, and we get the opportunity, you know, because we have various special skills that will throw us into the thing to do it and lead the charge for right. What it was always meant to be and continues to be.
You know, Phil, it's amazing to hear the young leadership at Neo-Futurists talk about the love of the stage, but also the love of the company. What's that mean to you to be one of the original Neo-Futurists back from 1989?
Yeah, oh, it's fantastic. I mean, you know, I can't jump for numbers the way I used to, but I think that's kind of the point. Is we all maintain a relationship with the company, and our relationship to and the way we support it just evolves. I'm on the board now, and you know, there are other things I can do to help support the different types of productions and classes and touring and everything that, you know, the scholarships that we provide. So it's pretty fantastic. What's really great is going back to see the performances and see the same sort of techniques being applied to different topics, current events, and things that are on the mind of the folks that are in the ensemble today, you know.
Phil, take us back. 1989. I kind of talk about take us back. So, this idea of something special happening, because there was a lot going on in Chicago, and we already talked about the arts and music and things like that. But in the theater community, it seems that one time in 1989, yeah, there was something special in the water that was happening, especially in Lakeview.
I think a lot of people were just at this point. I know I was personally, like you said, you have a theater degree, and I've done, you know, classically trained at a conservatory, and I've done improv. And well, what else is there? And here was a company that was writing and creating their own work, and it was spontaneous, but it wasn't improvised, and so that was that was really attractive. And right around the corner, The Annoyance was doing co-ed prison sluts, I think was their first show, among the first. And you still had an opportunity to be connected to the artist who inspired you in the city, but it was... You weren't trapped in that sort of traditional actor route of I have to get my headshot, go to an audition, you know, go to the generals and do that. And, you know, this is something we could make that was personal. And it was fun. And we had an opportunity to create personal relationships with the audience members who kept coming back and back.
And there's something special about that concept, a concept that it almost was an alternative to a theater scene at the time that was very formal. And I don't mean that theater is formal. I mean that headshots and you have to go in for auditions. This is when you do it. There was a different kind of vibe to what Neo-Futurists are doing, what Annoyance are doing. It seemed to be more organic. How do you keep that spirit, Kurt? How do you keep that as you guys get bigger and you now have an ensemble and a board and everything in between that Phil and the rest of his colleagues could never have dreamt of. How do you keep that spirit organic?
Well, I think, so we're a theater that's guided by a way of doing the stuff that we make, the aesthetic of neo-futurism, where the primary thing is that we're ourselves on stage. We bring everything, all the content we bring and the stories we bring is from ourselves. And the primary goal is to make something happen in the room. And to me, that translates as making good theater. And for those, I think a huge reason that a lot of us get there is because we're disillusioned by certain route mm-hmm. ways of making theater.
Absolutely.
And that continues. The way that Phil just talked about what a headshot is and a relationship to a headshot was a very similar experience I had.
Well, there's this punk rock DIY kind of vibe that the Neo-Futurists perfected for years and you continue to do it. Jorge, you come from downtown theater. Downtown theater. you come up to, is there going to be a learning curve in that regard? You know, when Kurt says, you know, enough of the headshots, man, let's just get some, then you're like, no, this is how we do it downtown. I mean, how do you adjust to fit to the ethos that we're talking about here?
Well, you may be talking about downtown theater, but I'm Southside, so I've already come somewhat out of place being a Southsider, being a Chicagoan in theater at all, especially at places that are considered top tier echelon theaters. So it's not really much of a change to say I'm going to be out of place for a little bit, right? And adapt. And I think there's something that could be helped there. There's a melding there that happens. I feel like I could bring all these skills that I know have worked at other bigger places and help build the company that much more. But again, I'm coming from off the beaten path. So, and I'm glad about that. That's what brought me to the Neo-Futurist, the unconventional style.
The style back in 1989, and I remember when I was first introduced to the Neo-Futurist, 1993, 1994, sitting on the floor, rolling a die to get in, the whole bit where you were just like, this is finally something in the city that at the age of 18 or 19, whatever I was for me. Mm-hmm. It was designed for me. This was not sort of sneaking into a bar and hoping that nobody checked my ID. This was not, this is a theater and I'm just glad to be in it. You know, I should keep my mouth shut, no hard candy. This was for me. How do you keep, as younger people discover your theater and continue to, is that the idea that you continue to play to that 18-year-old kid who's like, I haven't found my niche yet, but I can find it at the Neo-Futurists?
I think the ensemble in the Infinite Wrench is often around the younger side, I suppose. But I wouldn't say, our target audience is less about an age demographic or any kind of identifying a demographic, rather anyone that wants to run into each other inside of a room. Learning about the theater, I've heard a lot of stories and continue to hear from fans about the theater being a place that they can go, specifically high schoolers, for high schoolers.
Yeah.
It's a place that we're not serving alcohol. It's a late night place that people can go see a thing happen and then go home safely. That's a huge part of the younger audience.
That is such a, what Kurt just said is so important, right? The idea that there's a place for younger people. I'm not talking about 12-year-olds. You're talking about 18, 19, 17, 16, whatever it might be in that regard to go and feel like they're welcome and get great art.
Because the ensemble is creating are creating stories based on themselves, and they're being honest, and they're dealing with the stuff that goes on in their life, the audience recognizes that, and it's the artists reflect the audience. The audience reflects who the people are they're in the room listening to. It's the thing what you talked about. It's supposed to be affordable. It's supposed to be accessible. There aren't supposed to be borders and obstacles to being involved. It's inviting. None of those things have changed. And the people, I think the makeup of the ensemble is very similar to when we first started performing. We were songwriters and comedians and improvisers and actors, formal actors. We were dancers. We were poets. And all, in that way, we embraced a lot of different medium to communicate these stories.
Yeah.
And I just think that just makes it more and more accessible for a younger audience.
You guys, with the Infinite Wrench continuing to be a success, and obviously what you continue to do with the primetime programming, you've got big shows this weekend for Pride. That's always a big thing at the Neo Futurist. Talk about that.
Yeah. So starting tomorrow, we're doing the Infinite Wrench, 30 queer plays in 60 straight minutes, which we've done an iteration of ever since 1989. I believe Dave All may have kicked off the first one.
Yeah, it's a huge event for us internally. Everyone looks forward to it. It's a really great opportunity to find. We've been having a sponsor for a number of years now.
Yeah. Well, and so every Thursday night all the proceeds are 100% dedicated to a beneficiary of that year. This year, it's the Transformative Justice Law Project of Illinois, which provides radical justice services for transgender people and non-binary people. A great organization that serves Chicago and outside of Illinois. So it's this time that we get to celebrate our own company members that align with LGBTQ plus folk, our audiences, our volunteers. It sells out very quickly you're talking about like a theater that's speaking to like people that don't usually have it, young people. That also includes like LGBTQ plus folk as well. We're the hotbed for it in a lot of different ways, you know.
Jorge, for you, I'll give you the last word. Just as you think about the lineage and the 30-year history of this company, to join it, do you see right away ways that you can improve it, number one? But number two, is there a way, just from your vantage point from being at the Goodman but also at Neo Futurist, that something like this could happen again? Like thinking of Phil and the guys back in 1989 deciding to put on a show at Stage Left or Live Bait, and creating this kind of following. Is that something that can happen in Chicago again?
That's a last word question? Oh, wow. Okay. That's like, I feel like I got to write a thesis before I can give you that answer, but I'm going to try.
It is Extension 720.
I'll try. I think there's a big desire for theater to speak more than one dialect, right? I feel like we think about theater, we talk about theater, and this is what I mean by being a Southsider, is like there's a thought about what theater should be, and the Neo Futurists aren't it, and that's what's great about it. And I feel like there's more and more communities that are leaning towards unconventional theater because the language of theater has to change along with the changing demographics of theater, and that only means it's becoming more and more democratic, know, for lack of a better term, right? And so, there's somebody did ask me, do you feel intimidated by the fact that the company is 30 years old? Is the institution bigger than the individual at that point? And that's a question I'm still grappling with. But certainly there are certain things I want to see happen, I want to see through, but it's only the things that I've already seen in the company before. And that's the inclusivity. And I want to build on that, grow on that. And we like to celebrate Latinx playwrights and performers, and that's great, we should. But I also want to celebrate all the other people that are working on this. And that's an ensemble of authors. And that's the administrators that we're working with and the people and the community partners, right? They're all making the theater together. So I think it's only a matter of building upon what has already there.
Great answer. Great final thought.
Thank you.
Jorge Silva
is
the managing director, the new managing director of the Neo Futurist. Kurt Cheng is here as well, the artistic director. And Phil Ritterelli, one of the original ensemble members and now board member of the Neo Futurist. We're talking about their start back in.
Still
ensemble. 1989, the year that the company was born. Thanks, guys, for coming in. Appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks.